In this week, on the 9th of October 1982, teenage stars Glenn Hodges and Kevin Gage each scored twice as the Dons ran in six goals and overwhelmed visiting Aldershot. Bassett's boys brushed aside the shock of falling behind to a Dale Bantam's early strike to record one of their biggest wins in the club's short Football League career. It left Wimbledon looking down on the rest of the fourth division from on top of the table. Ah, it's nothing better than coming from behind again and again. It's what the Dons do. We're the Same Old Wombles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth. If we win or we lose, we just go.
Hello, hello, dear listener. I hope you're all well. Today, I'm joined by mon frère, Niall Cooper. Hello, Niall.
Hello, Matt. Obviously, we're going to talk about that game at length in a minute
Yeah.
because it's got particular significance.
Yeah.
Won't go into it now. I'll let everybody else introduce themselves.
And our man with the buttons, the producer, our master. And can I just say, dear listener, this is a man that we cherish, all right? No matter what people think, we cherish this man, okay? Hello, Adam. How are you? Professor Dr. Adam Proctor.
Yeah, I'm great, thank you. Yes, I feel cherished. Just no one's twisting my arm to say that. I love everyone on this podcast.
Excellent. Checks in the post. And back after I don't know, I can't even remember how long it's been. He's been to Venice. He's been elsewhere. He's done all sorts of things. We're recording this time at a particularly early moment so we can get him on and get him back. It's our man with the number. It's the guy who knows everything about everything. It's Tall Mark Lewis. Hello, Mark. How are you? Welcome back.
Good afternoon. I was only away for a week, and you're the one that suggested we record early. So I was in Venice. A belated anniversary, honeymoon anniversary holiday. One, two, or three shows that I've done recently, that being the industry that I work in. So all very busy, but delighted to have my flight delayed long enough so that I could watch Paula Brake. Big shout out to Paula Brake. As I was sitting literally on the tarmac at Gatwick, being able to watch Omar and score and then set one up and thinking of how happy Adam would be at that moment. And then, of course, I flew back at almost exactly the same time a week later and missed the whole game completely. And then touched down at Gatwick about 5 o'clock, 5 minutes after the full-time whistle, to get a very nice bit of news, i.e. we'd won 2-0. But distinctly underimpressed reaction from Mrs. Lewis, who refuses point blank to acknowledge that Daniele Orsi could do anything correct because of who he used to play for.
Do you know what?
Yeah.
It is a tricky one, Mark. It is a tricky one.
Just saying.
I'm pleased that we won.
Well,
yeah, I'm with Matt. I'm pleased that we won, and it's sort of like when he does score, there's a certain rolling of eyes that go between me and Matt, and an acknowledgement about what it is. So, I shall say no more. I think me and Matt might perhaps be in the Joe Lewis camp of
Yeah, I'm
scenarios on
in
this
less
one.
I'm in less of that camp. However, obviously for the penalty, the first person to walk up and put the ball on the spot was Bugle. So I was like, go on, Omar. And then it swapped to Orsi. I was like, no.
Well, no, this apparently
Yeah.
was quite a tactic, because Orsi was saying in his post-match thing that apparently he saw that the goalkeeper had written down who the particular penalty takers were and what they usually do, and Orsi normally goes straight down the middle,
Yes.
which is why they gave Bugle the ball, and therefore he would have been presumably imagining that Bugle, who is a centre forward after all, would take it. And then he just gave the ball to Orsi, at which point the goalkeeper was put off, and it worked.
It did work brilliantly, but I think anyone facing Orsi is going to be put off. Anyhow, listen, He's going to win us over. It's going to be fine.
Because like, I didn't realise that he does like the his celebration is the last is a lasso celebration. Is that is that a play on the fact that his name sounds like Aussie?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's really nothing more intelligent than that, I don't think.
Oh, great. That's fine. I quite
like
that.
I didn't strike him as a particularly intelligent player.
Oh, come on. You guys are bad.
Well, being intelligent, I mean, that's not entirely unrealistic to imagine.
I think that's cool. Like, I think that's a cool celebration to base it on your on a pun of your name. That's cool. I like it.
What does your name mean? Adam Proctor. What's Proctor mean? You've got to have looked it up at some point.
Yeah, it's got some relation to something to do with the church, I think, and sort of positions in the church back in the day. So, I don't know.
What would you do? A little sign of the cross,
maybe. What else could I do?
Do that finger thing. You know, you could use the finger thing when they go, and the church is all the people. Yeah. You could do that.
I mean, the problem with all of this is it would require me to, one, be on a football pitch, and two, actually score. Both of those things are very, very rare.
I was going to say, that could be the next challenge, dudes.
What, get Adam on a football field?
And score a goal.
I think we're talking about, we'll come on to that later on. We've got a plan.
Well, what does Lewis? Just what I was about to tell you. Lewis stands for renowned warrior, according to Wikipedia, which I think from our
We don't like Wikipedia anymore, remember? Like, it's banned.
Just because they got rid of Ashley? I mean, you know, that's unfair, but I don't think we can completely blackball Wikipedia just on the basis of that.
We've blackballed for much less, Mark.
That's very true.
Yeah, I was going to say, being that we're kind of known as Never Forget.
Yeah.
This is true, yeah. But no, I was thinking, renowned warrior, going back to the point of the question.
Yeah.
Joe Lewis, not my wife, but the centre-back of getting bald fame, is indeed a renowned warrior. And what will be interesting is whether or not, and I'm just entirely speculating with no basis of knowledge whatsoever, did Jackson rest Lewis, knowing that he obviously was an injury doubt, but also that Johnston would be going away to Northern Ireland bench duty this weekend, as he is, and therefore missing Port Vale. And will hopefully Lewis come back in against Port Vale?
Oh, yes.
I think there's a small part of that, you know.
That is a good call. And also, more importantly, what should his celebration be? I mean, if Aussie's doing the lasso, if Lewis means warrior, should it be like a bow and arrow type thing? A throwing the spear sort of shenanigans, you know?
Like a bow and arrow, that'd be quite cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, a bow and arrow is quite cool. I mean, that's been done before. I like it. It's not out of the ordinary. I mean, obviously, Cooper means barrel maker. So I don't know how that works. It's like, it's either drinking a pint or like hammering. But anyhow.
Because Niall knows all about drinking pints nowadays.
Niall knows all about drinking pints of orange juice and lemonade.
As it happens, I was very, very good at necking pints. Always have been. It just now it would be
in past life.
Pint of like Sprite. But I used to be quite fast.
If you necked a pint of Sprite, that would be amazing.
That would be dangerous.
Well, here's some more challenges to come up in the same Wombles Christmas party.
Doobs can have like a pint of something random, and I'll have a pint of Sprite, and we'll see who nicks it first.
Seriously, that is not going to do Hart any favours. That kind of an out of gas.
Okay,
in one hit.
All right, we'll have to think about something better. Anyway, that's a potential.
Right.
What I was doing as we were talking, two things came through. One of which was the Never Forget thing, which kind of has obviously that is the whole history of the club and the Don's Trust. And all I've got through, and a really warped image now, is take that and wondering whether Lou Carlton Kelly, who's the one who wrote that, the Never Forget slogan, I think she was the one responsible for it, at least was heavily involved, whether she actually really likes Take That, and whether she's actually, Mark, you might know, whether she's actually sung at karaoke Never Forget, because I think that's another challenge, Dubes. See whether he can do a karaoke challenge with Lou Carlton Kelly singing Never Forget.
Niall, have you been on something? Have you been taking something? Have you been on? Your medication or whatever? Is it time for it? I'm slightly worried about all of this.
I was gonna take us down an even bigger tangent where you're talking about Take That, really, and the fact that I actually knew that Take That were a band before almost anyone else in the world knew that, because one of the girls in my course at uni, and I'm talking October 1989. How long ago was that? Was going out with a guy, and still is actually, I think she's married to him now, who is Jason Orange's brother. who obviously wasn't Take That until he retired because he had enough money. And she was banging on about how wonderful Take That were, long before they played loads of gay nightclubs, before they even became big and famous.
It's
Hey,
interesting you
that's where
say
he
that,
hit
but
you.
of
I've got
all
a
of the
list.
Take That people, of all the Take That people, I'm not a big orange man. Anyhow, I think it's about time for us.
Oh.
Time
No,
for us to
you're
move
still
on.
interesting.
No, I want to move back. In fact, I want to move back to the start
We
of
need to
this,
talk about the game.
the start of the
Well, hey,
podcast.
what, we're going to
The
talk about
start of
football
the
now? Why would we
podcast,
do
we
that?
talked about the thing I said was the in this
What's your
week,
game?
Aldershot.
Was that your first ever game?
Aldershot, that is our second ever live match.
Second ever game, doesn't matter.
Second ever. The first one
Was that
was
first ever win? Was 2-2.
the first one was it Scunthorpe?
2-2.
2-2. And then yeah, so
Do you remember the
this was the
first
second one.
time? That's the most important thing.
Oh yeah, but you can't beat being there and all of a sudden you're 1-0 down to Aldershot and you win 6-1. It was, I think we'd kind of already fallen in love with Wimbledon, but that kind of cemented it. That 6-1 victory was like the moment that it was
You turned
ingrained. There
into a
was
glory
never
hunter.
ever going to be going back. Turned into a
No,
glory hunter.
exactly. Volley down,
Yeah, that's
brilliant
right.
goal. We were
Top
2-1
of
at half time.
the fourth division.
It was 2-1
So
at half time, and we went on to win 6-1.
yeah,
So here's the
perfect.
thing, to talk about getting ahead of ourselves. So I randomly checked which games are called off, going to be called off this weekend for internationals. Obviously ours is not one of them because we only have Hippolyte playing for Kitts and Grenada or somewhere.
Grenada
And
and
obviously Johnson not playing for Northern Ireland, as discussed before. However, there are four games called off in League One and even one in League Two, interestingly enough. And
it's one of the
those games being, I'll just check them out now. Barnsley, Cardiff.
Of course, Cardiff. I knew you were going to mention Cardiff.
Stop it. Bradford,
I'm not allowed
Lincoln.
to mention Cardiff. I'm never going to mention Cardiff again. I'm sorry,
You're also
Mark.
not allowed to mention golf. Luton, Huddersfield, and we should come back to Luton in a bit.
Yes, yes.
Mansfield, Plymouth, and Peterborough, Stevenage. So if you look at the league table now, with Stevenage and
Oh,
oh
don't do this,
no,
Mark.
Cardiff
Don't do
and
this.
Lincoln and Bradford all ahead of
Don't
us in
do
the
this.
table,
Don't
I'm
do
not. I'm
this.
not doing anything. I'm just saying they're ahead of us in the table, and we're playing on
Yeah.
Saturday. That's all I'm saying. I'll leave it
Okay.
there.
All right, good. Now then, about Saturday's match, the one just gone. Again, another win. Now we're aware of the issues that Blackpool are facing. I think they've had their squad's been decimated by injuries. So they've had, but that said,
Bet
my
their
understanding
budget's
is
bigger
they've
than ours.
spent a huge amount of money over the summer and they've
Exactly.
really, really gone for it. And obviously, I mean, I just always find it quite funny when you hear people like Steve Bruce and Mark Hughes and where they end up now. And I'm sure this wasn't where they expected their managerial careers to be. I thought they thought they'd be managing at least in the Championship, if not in the Premier League. And yeah, so Steve Bruce has now left Hull. Mark Hughes, I think, is still with Carlisle.
Steve Bruce has now left
He just
Blackpool. He
personally
left
left
Hull a
Blackpool,
long
so
time ago.
he left Hull. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's right. He's left Hull, and then he left Blackpool. Yeah, so. But I mean, but it was a great victory. It's a brilliant victory. My underst and people have been saying that it's like one of our more complete victories of the season. And we were also competing with the weather, which apparently wasn't as bad as was feared. But a fantastic result. Like we say, it's I'm really trying to forgive Orsi, but I think he's not come out so far and dissed the franchise. And I think that's for
All
me
he's
is
got
one
to
of the
do,
things. All he's got to do.
all
All
he's
his
got to do is say they are a bunch of smelly, stinky poo, and I don't like them. If he says that exact quote, I will forgive him.
that I think, and I think that for a few of us, that's the way. And it's really childish. I know it's really, really ridiculous because it wasn't his thing. He was on loan there. I don't know how much of a choice he had in that, but I still find it very, very difficult. And probably to all the other people listening to other podcasts where people talk about selling out and all of those sort of things and moving on. I think for a few of us of a certain generation, there's still some things that really sort of stick in our claw. So for me, that is one of them. And I really want to like him, but he's got to say something more for me.
But he's not going to unless he keeps on scoring. But the reality actually is,
Yeah.
they obviously kept Stevens being injured under wraps.
Yes.
Actually, it's probably worth listening to the BBC London post-match things more than it is
Stevens out
worth
for a while.
listening to our own ones,
Yeah.
because He seems to Jackson seems to reveal even a little bit more to them than he does to other people. So he didn't say anything about Stevens at all. Didn't say anything about Stevens in terms of the injury on our post-match thing, but he did to the BBC London one. And so you imagine now, certainly for the maybe the next couple of weeks at least, if it's hamstring, then that doesn't hamstrings don't heal themselves quickly.
As Matt
So
knows, he's got a hamstring injury. Carry on,
professional
Mark. Matt
footballer
played
than
in
Matt
a
Cooper
in a
is, you know.
Matt played in a brilliant charity match and played really well, but unfortunately, in the last minute or two, pulled up with a hamstring injury, which means Matt will indeed miss the next game for our team. Probably won't because it's not going to be for another 4 months. But it's going to take a while for him to recover.
Oh, dear me. I'll tell you what, playing football is very, very painful, chaps.
No,
A
it's called being
bit,
of a certain age,
yeah,
and in my
that's
case, at least being of a certain weight. Speaking of someone who's just gone back to the
Jonathan.
gym for the first time in 10 years, that's painful. But no,
Oh,
what I
dear.
was trying to say
Sorry.
was, you know,
Carry on.
Stevens is probably going to miss Port Vale, Plymouth the week after that, possibly Burton the week after that, and therefore also he is going to get one in the team. But
And all.
actually, Bugle is also going to stay in the team because, as you guys sensibly mentioned last week when I wasn't on, he's back in the team. He deserves to be in the team, and Brown is not going to get his place back.
No, and which is really interesting because obviously Hippolyte's away this weekend, and but I'm assuming he'll go for Maycock rather than putting Brown in that position.
Well, I don't know because arguably, although Port Vale apparently had won 4 games in a row, some of the Port Vale social media was particularly critical and basically said the only reason that they managed to just about scrape a 0-0 draw against Northampton was based on how shit Northampton were. And therefore, Wimbledon apparently will take advantage of that next week. So we're getting to this
Oh.
situation, even with Port Vale, who, let's face it, absolutely handed our ass to us at home at the end of last season and celebrated and everything else, which was really rather
That was painful.
painful to watch. You know, we're playing, so we've. I'm not going to run through all the different teams, but one of the things for me about the Blackpool game was they're another established lower level championship, let alone mid-table League One team, just like Wickham, just like Plymouth, who are about to play shortly, just like Rotherham, just like Lincoln, just like Cardiff, just like
If you,
Barnsley.
Mark, if you look
All
at
of
it, if
whom
you look
we
at
have
it,
played and beaten.
well, if you look at it as well, I was looking at looking at the fixtures we've had. Look, we've played seven of the 10 teams around us, and the teams at the bottom end of the table that we've played include Reading, include Blackpool, who are big teams. So you're talking about the teams we played. We have had a very, very tough run of fixtures. And we are doing quite well. That's I'm going to stop now because the football gods are calling in my ear and telling me to shut up, so I'm going
No,
to shut up.
I think the thing about it is that those sides, and we touched on this, I think, well, regularly probably, is that sides are going to start to want to turn things around. So there's the January window coming up, but also I think this is a very interesting time because this is coming up to the international break, and we've had two managers go. So now we've had Steve Bruce, who did leave Hull but has left more recently Blackpool. And also Bloomfield, who's left Luton,
Been
so
sacked by Luton.
been
Yeah, well,
sacked by
they've
Luton.
both been sacked, yeah.
So that's so there. So people are making changes now with the knowledge that the people have got a couple of weeks. So hopefully, get someone for this weekend, so they've got a week with the team to get in there. And it's funny, but for the first time, people are putting in Jackson's name as you know. Could that be a possibility? Could Luton go for Jackson? And I think this is something, up until this point, I've never worried about Johnny Jackson being poached by anyone. But now it genuinely wouldn't surprise me.
You see, if you're Jackson's agent, you're on the phone to Cope, even if you haven't been already, and you'll use this as a leverage in what I hope is already ongoing contract negotiations because his contract's up at the end of the season. Hopefully, at worst, this ends up with Jackson staying and Jackson getting a new contract. Whether we can afford to give him the type of raise he might want, who knows? But I'm sure he'd be tempted.
I
Apparently, he
think
was tempted by Gillingham before, so.
Luton wouldn't go for Jackson yet. So I think Luton will still have aspirations about getting a manager that is a Championship or a Premier League manager of that ilk. So I think you're probably more looking at the managers who've just got sacked in those two divisions
Well,
than you are
it
about Jackson.
true, or the managerial merry-go-round, which is, if you're a Blackpool, do you go for someone like Wellens, who is from the northwest of England and was at Bolton, I think, before someone in that neck of the woods, anyway. Obviously, lots of clubs in the northwest of England, and if you go for Wellens, who obviously is down in London right now at Leyton Orient, you
Yep.
could easily see Jackson being tempted by Leyton Orient.
I think, yes, exactly. And I think the issue is, I think, for Jackson, that what we've been able to do is give him time. Because there was at the very beginning of his managerial career, he had to win us over. In actual fact, we on the podcast at points have been calling for his head, a couple of years ago. So, but now we gave him the time, and this is what's happened. So this is the.
I will still recall the very famous "Sort it out, Jackson."
Yeah. So, this is the thing.
6 minutes into the culture of the game at the beginning of last season. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
those
So
that don't
now
know, we
give
won
it.
it 4-2.
So now it's now he's got this time and he's built up a squad. He's built up something, which, a team that really resembles his style. It's his team, it's his squad, and he's done magnificently to get us to where we are now. If he goes to somewhere like Luton or even Orient, here that it's going to be the aspiration is going to be for them to be in the playoffs, at least be in the playoffs if he goes somewhere. So if he doesn't, then by the end of the season he could lose another job. He could get sacked by Luton, or he could get sacked by Leyton Orient, for instance. But with us, whatever happens, our thing is to stay in this league, isn't it? Anything beyond not getting relegated, I think for a lot of us is going to be a success. So it's a lower bar for him, if you like, and he's also he's built up something incredible. So if he goes somewhere else, are they going to give him the time?
Oh, of course they're not, because that's the
Yeah.
dog eat dog world of football management. What is interesting for me, looking at the table right now, with the likes of Plymouth in 15th, Orient, who obviously lost in the playoffs last year, down in 18th, Reading down in 19th, is they've all got at the moment relatively young managers, but Wellens has already bounced around a couple of clubs. Reading obviously lost their manager and promoted from within, and they haven't done a huge amount since then. Wickham have already changed their manager this year, and they're still down in 20th. And Plymouth Argyle have got Tom Cleverley, who seems to be already turning into a kind of Steve Bruce of about 20 years younger, in that he's been around about five clubs, even though he's only about 40 himself. None of which have been particularly successful, although one of them is Watford, which is a basket case anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean that's it. It's really interesting, and I mean I'm hoping that, like you say, his agent should be able to cope. He's just saying, "Come on, what's going on here? Give me another extend my contract. Give me a bit of a pay rise. Otherwise, he could be off." And also, I mean, I think we've got to get it out somewhere. We've got to find out whose contract is up in the summer, because my sense is there's an awful lot of people whose contracts are up in the summer. So we've got to
Definitely.
try and get that sorted. I think Joe Lewis is up in the summer. I know Seddon, and I think a few others, there's quite a few that are up. Oggs, who's now a mainstay in the team as well. His contract's up in the summer. And then we could end up losing money on that. Because if you're in theory you're thinking you could sell players on, we could be losing money from not sending people on. So anyhow, yeah, so I do worry about that, and I do worry if JJ's going to be a tar. I mean, how long has he been with the club, Mark?
He signed a new deal the beginning of last season, I think. So 3 years? Yeah, because obviously he had that poor first year where we almost got relegated at the end of the first year. So almost went back to back relegation wise. And then end of the second season, he got promoted. So yeah, So this is his third season.
Yeah. But right now things are cool. We are, and I like the fact we feel like we've got cover. I mean, it's not like we've got a person for every place, but we've got a person who can fit into each of those places. So, Mark, you were saying earlier on, if Johnson's out, Lewis was slip into that place, but it wouldn't be, maybe Bauer flips to where Johnson was. I don't know how that would work along, but that's great. That works out okay. We seem to have huge numbers of strikers at the moment.
Except we don't
Really,
have Foyo.
we don't have Foyer for a month.
Yeah, I mean, what's your take on that, guys? Because I think, frankly, we have what's the word? Employed some friendly legal assistance there, because how he got away with a month and what 4 months suspended or whatever the actual term is,
Yeah.
even for a couple of years, it's a humane way of dealing with it, as Niall talked about in last week's pod. But I think it's very lenient.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because there was another case just before that was the same, a month and a suspension. So it feels like the
Je jealous of Walsall.
yeah. So it feels like the FA have taken some advice maybe from the PFA. I think there must have been something there which has been saying if people get found about this, then you need to be doing some work with them. So
Well-being, isn't it?
I'm assuming Foy's gone and done some counselling, and we've supported him. I think you can't. It's really difficult to just throw someone out. I think that's a really tricky little thing. But Niall, I'm looking at your face. Your face is like no forgiveness.
No.
Anyone
Actually,
steps
it
over the
is.
line, we shoot
No, I
them.
wasn't like that. Actually, I do think with him is because I know organizations like Gambling with Lives and stuff like that, who kind of I work I connect with a lot of the sport for good charities and organizations, so I kind of know how serious a problem it is. And I think what we're beginning to see is a shift in attitude towards it, and saying, well, actually this is an addiction, it's a problem, it's something that we need to look at how we deal with and how we cope with it. Yes, there are rules and regulations, and that's why you've kind of got like the suspension that's gone in, the suspended 4 months on top of the ban. So I can see where that's coming from. I hope that the PFA are doing quite a lot of work with him, and that's the sort of thing that's very firmly in their remit. They will be looking after and supporting him. So hopefully that's where it is. So, the bit that gets me is, and on no other podcast will flag Wally Downs as a scenario here. And I think when other podcasts talk about Wally, there is a whole load of other things that go with it as well. So, just saying it's not the same situation. So if any other people are listening or whatever and go, what about Wally Downs? Wally Downs was a different case and a different scenario, because it wasn't just the gambling, there was other things going on as well.
No,
So,
I think
well, I don't want to go into depth about that, but that's, if people talk about that comparison, it's not like for like.
even if there was nothing else going on off the field that I don't know about and therefore I can't speculate about, at the time our results were not going great. So
No.
there could have been a case, not a very Wimbledon type case, because we don't tend to be knee-jerk in terms of our managerial sackings, but there could have been a case for potentially moving Wally on when he was manager based on the results he had or not had.
Yeah, I think this was a I yeah, I think that was a diffi that was a difficult time there. It's slightly controversial, but yeah, I mean I'm pleased. It was very weird because I think it came out on his 21st birthday, didn't it? This was the result, actually came out on his birthday, this thing. And a lot of people going, oh, that's not a great thing to happen on your birthday. And I think for all of us, we're going, wow, that's a great result, because we thought he'd be out for the like probably for the rest of the season. But then it adds, so now looking at it, you've got Stevens and Orsi. You've got Brown, Bugle. I mean, if those are your sort of like standard four, but then you've got Hackford, who's been exceptional. And I'm assuming he's going to be back pretty soon. If not this Saturday, then the Saturday after.
I think he was a hamstring as well, so that may be another week or two still.
And then you've got Foyo. So that is six. That's six strikers that are on our books. And how on earth you're going to keep all of those happy? I know that there was a a match of one of the Virtuous Trophy where Foyer, I think, was played as a right wing back. Because I think Jackson likes to convert everyone to wing backs if he possibly can.
Can he tackle any better than
Sasu.
no, not Sasu can tackle. No,
Yeah.
Marcus Brown.
Well,
Marcus Brown can tackle, just not legally.
yeah.
I can't believe we've got this far through the pod without Adam mentioning that Omar Bugler has been nominated for PFA League One Fans Player of the Month.
Hey, I just needed someone else to say that.
He
Come on, Adam.
I was gonna say but my thought was, Mark, he didn't even know.
No, I did. I
But
saw
then
him.
you're on the fan club. You run the fan club. So, what's your thoughts?
It's brilliant. Like, obvious. He's amazing. Like, come on. Like, I mean, I'm starting to get more and more worried about January. What's his deal? Like, when's he? Like, are we all right? Are we safe? You know? Yeah. No, he's great. I love him, obviously. So, yeah. Again, a great game on Saturday. He pulled up. I mean, he should have scored. He had a one-on-one opportunity. I think he tried to nutmeg the goalie, was what it kind of looks like to me. Well, I'm not sure whether he meant that or whether that was a misplaced shot. But yeah, and then he pulled up a bit afterwards and was taken off. So I was a bit like, again, I was like, oh no, that's a little bit stressed. But I think some people felt it might be cramp or something. So hopefully it's just that. So yeah, it's great. I mean, do we get to vote for on this thing? Or who like, how do you vote?
On the
Yep.
basis it was on the official website, I shared it with our group pod, and it says, please vote here. Then, yes, you do get to vote in it. Do you want me to share it again, Adam, just for you?
Yeah, I'm
And
vote. You know where
Adam,
my
because
vote is
you're
going.
in, Adam, because you, yeah, it'd be hilarious if you voted wrong. But I think that you're in that industry. You could probably vote for him 10 or 20 times, couldn't
I got some ways of, opening multiple browsers
you?
and VPNs and whatever. You never know. Are
He's got
we
more
becoming
votes than
like Donald
anyone.
Trump? Phone up and find this mysterious 15,000 extra votes all coming through.
Hey,
There
you
you go,
know.
Adam. I've shared it with you on the chat.
Thank you,
Yeah.
Mark. Thank you. I can't help it if people
Perfect.
around the world want to vote for Omar, can
Vote for Bugle. No, he has been fantastic. And I mean, I think it's very interesting about Brown getting in again. I mean, he's going to have to wait. I mean, I'm assuming the way it will work is Bugle will start the games. Brown's got to come on and prove himself. Unless Brown can play in that Hippolyte role, which would be very interesting. Anyhow,
I'd
we
like
move
to
on.
see that, but as discussed about
Yeah.
10 seconds ago, he's got to be able to tackle to be in that
Hey,
role.
I was going to say before we move off the game, just because it was quite, I thought there was a couple of interesting things. One,
Sure,
I
sure.
watched most of the game, although I had a weird like internet issue for the first 10 minutes or something, or 20 minutes. But there was, I mean, the amount of booing from the Blackpool fans from the get-go, according to what people were saying or whatever, was kind of mad. I mean, I don't think, I don't think I've ever booed at a football game. I've been disgruntled, but I've never booed. So it was mad that they just weren't even getting behind them from the beginning. So that was just an odd. I just found that really odd that they were just booing them all the time. And then this last bit was Johnson's header for the second goal was awesome. Like, he so should have scored then. I'm as pleased that Orsi followed up. But Johnson is like, again, he's doing fantastic. I love him. He's doing fantastic. I mean,
Yeah.
he's slightly lower than Omar, but you know.
Obviously, but he's in your top three.
Yeah, man.
Okay. In actual fact, the weird thing is, and I'd just like to say, dear listener, this is exactly how football fans work. We've got to like half an hour or so into the podcast. We've talked about the fact we've won or whatever it is, and because it fell in our favour, we haven't talked about the controversy, which is the penalty that went to us. Because I
It's
know
not
we've
controversial, it just wasn't in the box. I mean,
it
pretty cut and dried, really.
was it was not in the box. I mean, I know we've had some. Do you remember there was we played Coventry years ago in a game, and we put the ball in. And they handled it. The guy handled it in the box, and they gave a free kick to us outside of the box. And there was another one where the guy handed it. You could clearly see he handed it on the line, and we got nothing. So,
That was Sunderland at
yeah,
Plough Lane. No,
Sunderland, yeah,
not at Plough Lane, at King's Meadow,
at
when
King's
they
Meadow,
asked for 3,000 away tickets.
yeah. So it's just like,
But the thing is, there was loads of sloppy challenges early on that were like in the things in the penalty box. It was like, I'm not saying we were playing for a penalty, but certainly Bugle had gone down a few times before. I can't remember who else. And then again, they were a bit late. So I think we were kind of allowing them to play the late challenge. And yeah, the lino, who obviously the ref deferred to by the looks of it, made the wrong decision. And it was considered a penalty.
I know. I know. I mean, that is. I mean, that was. It was
The other
crazy.
funny, the other thing, no, sorry, Mark, I was just going to say the other funny thing is on the stream or whatever. Obviously, where the media people are, they sit quite close, and you could literally hear in the back of like Mikey T's, but Mike, you could hear the Blackpool commentators just absolutely moaning. It was so good.
If
Oh,
you want to
dear
talk
me.
about controversy, though, or even controversy, depending on how you phrase it, you talked about the Wickham thing last week, and the fact that why was everyone getting so in a
Yeah.
knickers and twist about it? Well, the reason apparently they were getting knickers and twist is because it was their throw. And apparently, according to the Wickham official website and manager's preview of their game last weekend, the FA. The referee, and therefore through the FA, have officially, privately, which happened a few times, I think, when Ardley was manager of us, apologised to Wickham because they made a mistake and it should have been their throw, and therefore it would have been a goal. But whether we would have switched off like we did, I don't know. But that's just ludicrous that type of thing happens.
No, but this is the thing. This is the thing. Like, I hate VAR, all that jazz, right? The like referees and linos make mistakes, and actually, it's kind of fun. And sometimes it goes for you, sometimes it goes against you, and it can be really gutting. And I know there's a load of money involved and blah blah blah. But I like the fact that these people make mistakes. And in the match, in that game, the lino clearly made his decision, and that was his decision. Same with the penalty.
But
That's fine.
the thing was, he put the flag up like instantly for whatever it was. He put his flag up straight away. So, and he was staying by it. So, and then left unless the referee waved him on,
We don't want robots and cameras and everybody like making every decision perfect. That would just be ludicrous.
So, okay. So what you're saying, Mark, is that there's been two decisions recently that have gone in our favour.
Yeah,
All
which is
right.
fine. I'm happy to take them. You know,
Yep. Yeah.
they
Well,
say
yeah.
they say they even out. Who knows?
Oh, please. Do
It
they
took
have
year
to?
it took years for that
No,
Sunderland
no.
one to even out. So.
Yeah, it's taken. Yeah, it's taken. So anyhow, let us move on quickly. Just we've got the DTB elections. They're over. It's finished. The voting has stopped. And I just.
When do the results come out?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. When do the results come
I'm
out?
hoping there's going to be some controversy on the counting or something mad. Something's got to happen
Oh,
next week.
don't. What is wrong with you?
Yeah. It'll be Thursday, Matt, normally.
I again, people, if you can, go and have a check out of the Womble World. They've got a Womble World exclusive DTB Elections 2025 early exit poll.
No
You've really
way.
got to have a
I haven't
you've
seen
got to
that
have a look at
yet.
this.
I haven't seen that. Oh, that
No,
sounds
it's
hilarious.
it is hilarious. And I'm not even gonna, do you know what? I'm not gonna spoil it for you. But guys, if you can, just Google Womble World, or go onto Twitter and have a look. They've done a brilliant exit poll,
That's my evening
which is
sorted.
fantastic. And they've talked about how they've weighed the algorithmic modelling of ballot entropy. So I think it's going to be, or what they're calling, the Wambi. So it is absolutely fantastic.
Okay, we'll link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, do. So that's great fun. But I'm pleased that's over. It's going to be interesting to see who's got on and who stays on. And I think hopefully over the coming months, really going to have a think about how we can make this process better, and how we can ensure that we get a better representation on the board. Another thing I was thinking about recently was that if anyone stands, there really needs to be some sort of either guidance or people go along to an event, which just goes, you're thinking about standing for the Don's Trust board, come along and you sort of like you have a session and it shows you all the things you need to consider about how much time it's going to take you, what is expected, the sort of training you might need. And I think there needs to be training that's provided by the DTB. So all of those sort of things. So it might be a good might be good to have a session about if you're thinking about standing for the DTB, come along to this evening and they have an event. And it could be a small thing where they get to see what's expected and what they need to
I
do.
also, yeah,
Anyhow.
I was going to say also the thing, and we have talked about this before, is again, I would like to see more of a steer from the Don's Trust board about the kind of people that they want And whether that's co-opting them or just encouraging them to stand for the next election, I'd like to kind of hear where the gaps are.
So, but for now it's over. I mean, I guess there's, like I say, there's usually a lot more noise about the DTB elections when we're doing badly. So maybe there's not been so much noise, even though there has been a bit of a noise around this one. Little bits of news, and then we'll get on to some AOBs. So, oh yeah, the DTB released a financial statement last week saying that we're actively looking to find the money to get to, to get some more investment in. I think it was interesting. I've heard the other pods talk about this, and I think it's interesting because, as far as I can, it doesn't tell us anything we don't already know, which is that we need to get the money in. And listen, I think Niall, out of all of us, Niall's the most militant on this issue, but they're going to be bringing back the 50 plus one vote, which,
They don't
and I.
say that, but they do say that.
Yeah, but that's going to come back. That's going to come back in again. So we'll wait until that's officially comes back, and we'll have a discussion and see if we can move Niall's dial in any sort of direction. He'll probably be up more to 100%. That's just.
Sorry, I'm reading the Wrong World Substack.
I know, it is great, isn't it?
Well, on that, just very briefly for our listener, I'm quite surprised about who the top two are, but there you go.
Anyhow, so the financial data was nothing. I thought one thing, Niall, was interesting is on your fair game thing that came out. I actually were in a gold category, and I've just seen on the DTB that the fan engagement awards, which came out, we came 7th overall. I mean, out of like almost 120 clubs, I think they did. We came
164.
silver. And we got the silver award, and Exeter were top of the fan engagement. Then it was Carlisle, Lincoln, Swansea, Doncaster, Norwich, and then us. And I think where we'd fallen down slightly was on the. I mean, really, we're talking about small points here. Exeter overall got 230, we got 205, and it was dialogue and transparency were the two things that we scored lower on, whereas we scored quite well on governance.
Now, just to correct Matt, that is Kevin Roy's excellent fan engagement index. So that's so don't really important not to confuse that with what Fair Game is doing. Our stuff covers a lot of other areas, whereas Kev's been working really hard for quite a long time on fan engagement. So big kudos and credit to Kev for the hard work he puts in for that, which I'm not sure enough people are aware of all that sort of stuff. And obviously one of ours. So,
But if you don't like it,
looking at
then
that he
complain
can't
to
nick
Kev,
it to
not to
make us
Niall.
top. It's terrible, whatever.
No, I thought it was quite interesting that there was a sort of like a slight disparity. I mean, we still score very highly. I think there's one club from Buckinghamshire which is in the 70s somewhere. Not that I look, of course. But the point is, I think we're scoring fairly highly on both these things, which it's got to be saying that we're. As a club, we're not doing too badly off the field, really, all things considered.
Famous last words, obviously.
Off the field. I
I've
mean,
got to, there's a couple of political things I really ought to raise today that I
sure.
think, being that we're short a bit on time today, and I really want to get people's views on them. Today we've actually got announced the name of the regulator. So that's announced. It's a guy called David Cogan who did
Paid
donate to
money to
Labour
the Labour
Party.
Party.
So which is going to be, I mean, by all accounts, the guy is very well qualified, not actually a bad guy. But the issue when you've got somebody who has got that donation around his neck, the moment anything goes wrong or the Premier League big boys don't like it, then they're going to just spout political appointment and all that sort of stuff, and you'll get a load of stuff. He's just kind of he's got to be perfect, and he's also which I think is difficult. So that's one thing I wanted to talk about. And the other thing, which is just broken, is that UEFA have just given permission for domestic games to be played overseas.
For Barcelona and for
So,
Milan, which is just wrong on so many levels.
Barcelona, I think, again, I can't remember which way it is round. One of them's playing in Austria. So Barcelona and Milan have got games now scheduled for overseas, which is just shocking. And obviously, you can imagine with Glee the pressure that the Premier League will be putting on the
Oh my
idea
word, the
of,
Premier League are going to
and
go mad on
I've
that.
feared this for a long time, that Manchester City's long-term aim is to play multiple games overseas.
Course it is.
You know, that's where the direction of travel is. So, you know, the people thinking about the Premier League being some sacred cow, it's not going to be a Premier League. It's going to be an international league with clubs that might have a British name, but actually they won't consider themselves to be necessarily British anymore. That's the direction of travel that we're going in. I think it's not great. And obviously, Barcelona and Milan, were they part of that original Super League proposal? There you go.
Wow. I
Thin
mean,
end of the wedge, unfortunately.
yeah, that is. I mean, I think as I mean, to be honest with you, it's in Americanism, isn't it? I mean, as soon as the NFL were allowed to play abroad, this is what's we're heading in that direction. It's going to
Yes, I
be.
mean, but then again, we go to the conversation we had the other day about American sports, right? And the thing with American sports is that
They are shit.
the fan base is
I'm
connected to
sorry.
college sports. Sorry, Mark, I've gone and done my usual. I've gone and, like, Mark, for our dear listener, me and Mark have a bit of banter about things we're not supposed to talk about because it's like off topic. And so, like, you know, I'd start talking about other sports and Mark talks about Cardiff. These two things should be banned, I realise.
Anyhow, that's horrific news. But if there's anyone listening who's ridiculous enough to follow the Premier League, stop that nonsense and come and support a proper club, because you know a proper club that's doing really well. I mean, you know, maybe we're not that far away from the Premier League, but
It seems the people who listen to us, and there's more than one listener allegedly,
yeah.
seem to have some kind of spurious connection with Wimbledon, based on the recent social media post you got. But we'll only reveal that one as and when that actually turns
Exactly.
into something.
So anyhow, other things to mention for Don's. Thanks, Niall, for that. I mean, not horrific, the overseas thing. First league win of the season for the women. 3-1 away at Billericay, which was fantastic. And I don't know if you've seen the goals. Have a search them out, man. Some cracking goals. Actually, Hinks again. It's like I think it's a free kick from almost just inside our half is what it looks like for me. It's an
The
incredible goal.
second one's the better one. The second
Yeah.
one is like a raking pass, the kind of thing that Hoddle would have been proud of in his
Yeah.
heyday, taken down on one touch by the winger, left winger, right
Yeah.
winger, who then cuts inside and just floats the ball into the top corner. It's
Yeah.
like, they played on Match of the Day from Salah or Cole Palmer or
Yeah.
whatever, and they're eulogising over it.
Yeah, incredible goals. So do seek that out, and well done. I mean, it's brilliant, and hopefully they're going to kick on from here. Another thing I want to mention, and this is for me and Niall, this is brilliant for where we live. Tomorrow starts our journey on. I don't know if it's the start of our journey. I'm going with it's the start of our journey in the prestigious London Senior Cup. AFC Wimbledon are playing away at Cray Wanderers, who are like a half hour walk from my door. So this is great. So tomorrow we're going to be down there watching our apprenticeships and younger players play in the London Senior Cup. I wonder if there's going to be any. Do you think there'd be anyone who's hanging around our first team that will be on there?
The only thing I could think of was that I imagine it'll be the under 18s, Simon Clark's squad, who've been doing pretty well actually, overall. They also won at the weekend, but I imagine possibly Hutchinson, who would be old enough to be probably the father of most of the players there.
Yeah.
But apart from that, no.
Yeah, it'd be
Just to say,
interesting.
you will be hearing some updates, I think. Are we going to do that? I don't know whether we're going to do that. We'll let Adam worry about that, but we will definitely be there, and we definitely will be pulling on it, because obviously it is free entry, which is brilliant, and it is obviously marking the 78 unbeaten run that we did, which is glorious. So,
When you
for
say
the obviously.
marking, it's going back to the place where the unbeaten one finished.
Yeah, well, And I believe it finished because Matt Everard was out. Is that right?
That's
He
correct.
wasn't playing in that particular game. So it probably could have been, it could have gone on more than that. I need to look and see what happened afterwards.
What happened to
Did we kick?
Everard?
No, what happened? No, what happened to us after the 78th? We lost that game. Did we go back on and start winning more? Did we win or draw more? I mean, so what I'm trying to say is, was it one defeat in like 120 games, for instance? I don't know. But I can see
There were a
Mark
couple of old players that would
feverishly
know,
looking.
you know.
Yeah.
Oh,
There
do you think,
are.
honestly, Mark, do you think they'd actually know? You think about the old players that played in that game.
No, they can't remember.
You're being rude about Maverick, honestly.
Well, you know.
Okay. And lads, I do need
Well,
to
Matt
draw us
Everard
to an
did
end.
play, I think, in 76 of those 78 games.
Yeah.
And then the first game that he missed was that 79th game.
Excellent. I need to draw us to an end now, chaps. We all need to be doing things. Mark, you've got a pub quiz to be going to. No, you've got making some toad in the hole. Adam, you need to get home. I need to go to the pub. So the last thing is a challenge, Stacey. And I think this one, and by the way, so far, folks, because I know you're all interested in this, we've challenged Stacey. Nothing's happened with any of these, by the way. So the challenge has gone out. There's not been any real follow-up. But
I
I
will
like
do
this
the
one.
follow-up this week. This week, I
Okay.
promise to do the follow-up.
All right. But the thing I'm excited about is I think, and this is for you, Adam. I'm seeing if we can do this is a penalty shootout against a Stacey X11. So the same old Wombles, includes you, Mark, will have I think a pet we've got to challenge Stacey to a penalty shootout. He can pick his five, we'll pick our five. Well, we our five. I mean, I think we're going to have to get our Alex Folks, who, you know, is an honorary member of the same old Wombles, to
Are we
be
doing
in
this
our
on the
team.
five-a-side goals?
Oh, we've
Yeah.
got, haven't we?
Five-a-side goals before a game, we'll be there.
A fire.
Unless
So,
the club lets play do on the pitch. Unlikely, but we can ask.
If we pay enough money, I'm sure they will, but I don't know if
yeah,
we want to pay enough money, you know.
yeah. We need to we need
Only
to
we need
raise
somebody on the
money.
Bonds
We need
Plus
to
board.
raise money that we need to raise money for this. But that's it. So, Stacey, get your five players together. Same with Wombles. We're throwing down the penalty challenge gauntlet to you.
He
And
also
then.
has to get his running trainers on because he is going to do that, the run with Zav, which I will sort out this week.
Okay, excellent. Well, it's sorted, and
Well,
we'll
Zav
fit.
will walk
We'll
it. Reminds me, if
he'll
you're
run
sorting
it.
that out, does that mean you're committing us to helping him out as well?
No.
And we've.
Oh, good.
It's
That's
very.
all right then.
It's
Because
very.
I realise I haven't got enough days to take off work, having just been on holiday for a week. So,
Oh, no. It's a Saturday. It's before an AFC Wimbledon game.
We'll see.
okay,
We'll
I've got no excuse then.
see how it works out. All right. Okay, guys.
We might be
Thank
there
you.
at the start. I think we could be there at the start and then just get a tube down.
Yeah.
It's walking from Barnet to AFC Wimbledon.
Brilliant. I do feel like I do this every single week. I have to end the show at least three times. Okay, everyone.
And
Thank you
another
very
thing.
much. Shush your noise. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you, Niall. Thank you, Dr. Adam Proctor. Thank you, and welcome back to Tall Mark Lewis. I'm
Thank you,
Matt
Matt.
Cooper. We're the same old Wombles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known.